And I'm excited about what God has in store for you today. Amen. Reason I'm excited about what he's got in store for you today is because I got it yesterday or the day before or last week. And so I just want to share. Amen. Amen. Whew. David, it's good to see you. Amen. 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 I want to talk about a topic today that I think everybody deals with. Matter of fact, I don't know of anybody other than one person. He's not here on this earth that hasn't dealt with this topic. And it's a topic that I think we don't talk very much about it in church circles. Matter of fact, in very little circles do we talk about this topic. You want to know what it is? Okay, just checking. I want to talk to us today on this one word, unbelief. Now, we talk about a lot about believing God and believing he'll do this and believing he'll do that, but we talk very little about unbelief. And do you know, it is possible, I'll show you in Scripture a little bit, it's possible for you to believe and unbelieve at the same time. The problem is you don't get any results when you believe and unbelieve at the same time. Amen? That's like getting on a stationary bicycle and riding 1 mile and the ticker, and you did ride 1 mile, but you went nowhere. That's kind of what belief and unbelief, if you put them together. You're doing a lot of stuff, but you're not going anywhere. And so I want to talk to us about unbelief. So the definition, the Southeast Arkansas definition of unbelief. Are you ready for it? Yeah. Unbelief is when you start unbelieving God's word. Now think about it just a minute. Unbelief is when you start unbelieving God's word. Because first thing you got to establish, God's word is truth. That's the first. That's the benchmark of everything right there, God's word. And if God's word says ABC, then guess what? That's truth. You don't have to waver about that. The problem is there's two things that stir up our unbelief. Number one being, we don't really know God's word. Because if you know something, you must know something before you can either believe it or not believe it. And so a lot of people, they have unbelief because of ignorance. Not stupidity, ignorance. They haven't read God's word. It's here. God's word addresses every situation you're going to go through in life. God's word addresses it. Amen. So in order to believe something, you got to know something. You got to read something. You got to settle it. But also at the same time, there's things that we know that we don't really believe. We think it's for somebody else. Especially in today's world of technology and social media, everybody's highlight reel of their life is on Facebook. Come on, think about it. You see all the pretty pictures of the family standing together and all the smiles, and you see happy anniversary kisses, you know, husband and wife just hugging on to each other and going on these big trips for happy anniversary. But they don't show you the other 360 days of the year that they were fighting. They needed us to get away. They don't show you all those moments where things just weren't peachy keen. Come on, somebody. And so it's easy for us to believe that it's for somebody else because we compare our normal lifestyle to somebody else's highlight reel on Facebook. That's not real. Don't fall for that. They've got problems just like you do. They got issues just like you do. They believe and unbelieve just like you do. So don't think that they're, oh, if I could be like them. I tell people all the time, they'll ask me, how are you? I said, if I was any better, have a twin. But my wife's going to be real mad because she done figured out she got the wrong one of us. Come on, somebody. I mean, even living with me is not a highlight reel. Amen? But in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Now, there was a story that precedes these two verses I'm going to read where a father had taken his son to the disciples, those that walked with Jesus, and Jesus was off doing a ministry somewhere else. And this father believed that the disciples could minister, in other words, set free this little boy, he's a young man because the scripture tells us from childhood this has happened. So he's at least a teenager or better. And the father takes him and the disciples pray over him and they do everything they can do. But nothing happens. This young man is still possessed by a demon. And so Jesus shows up and he sees all this big crowd of folks and he goes, hey, what's going on? What y'all talking about? And the father, it says, out of the crowd, says, hey, we have a problem. I brought my son to your disciples, but they could do nothing with him. They believed. Do you believe it? The disciples believed. They were with Jesus. Now watch what the young man, the father says in verse 23, Mark 9, 23. And Jesus said to him, meaning the father, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Let me read it fast. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, all things are possible. It's not that can you believe all things are possible. If you believe, all things are possible. That's the way you need to settle that in your heart. If you believe, all things are possible. If you believe Christ, all things are possible. Come on, somebody. Why? Because he's truth. He's the truth, and he sets the benchmark. I wish we had the faith in Christ that we got in a red light. We can pull up to a stoplight, and it's red, and I watch some of you. You don't look one way or the other. You just take off when that thing goes to green. You take off, whoom. You don't check up. You just believe that the other people are going to stop because you got a green light. I want you to know if you're around me, I believe a yellow light means hurry up. It's fixing to turn red on you. You might want to watch. If I'm around, you might not have that much faith. We were coming back one time from John 3:16, and we had... Kent Sibley had bought a backhoe. And I happened to be up there with my truck and goose. Now he said, you bring it back. I said, I bring it back. And so we're coming back and it's me and Jason. We're in the truck. And I ran a few yellow lights. There ain't no such thing as running a yellow light. It's not red. You run a red light. You hurry through a yellow light. Come on, somebody. I know that our police officers are saying, oh, Lord, what's this guy drive? But after a few of those, and we got to Dumas. Now, this is after 2 or 3 hours of driving. We got to Dumas, and I was going to try to not scare Jason so much. But I just couldn't stop, and I went through that yellow light kind of in a hurry. And he said, preacher, are you going to run ever yellow light? I said, no, you're looking at it all wrong. I'm not trying to run yellow lights. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to build your faith. He said, I got it. Quit doing it. So my point is, we got a lot of faith, and I was having faith in that yellow light when it's yellow that these folks over here are going to see it, and they got to stop. What if we had that amount of faith in God, what God's word says? What does a red light mean to you? Ralph, what does it mean if somebody else has got the red light and you got a green light? What does it mean to them, the red light? They got to stop. Are you sure? Are you sure that... No, but are you sure they're supposed to?
They're supposed to.
It's not what they do, but you're sure they're supposed to. If it's green, you're supposed to. Are you sure? Yes. You're sure that green light allows you to go, and a red light says stop. And a yellow light means what? Hurry up. Amen? My point is... We're not going to debate that in this. You already know that green means go, red means stop. Who come up with that? I don't know. How come it couldn't have been the other way around? How come green couldn't have been stop and red go? Don't look right. Just don't look right. It just ain't right, is it? What about God's word? When God's word says something, how come we just don't believe it? How do we have to debate it? How do we have to intellectually make this right in our heads? It's because of unbelief. Or I don't want to line up with God's word. A lot of your unbelief is because you not wanting to position yourself where God wants you to be so that believing can come to fruition. I say, Pastor, I don't know if I understand you. Not everybody's saved in this world, but God wants everybody to save and to be saved, and you have to believe in him to be saved. But you don't have to believe. It's your option. You don't have to stop at the red light. It's your option. But believing is something we need to grasp hold of. But we have a great foundation of unbelieving. Now watch this. Verse 24 says in Mark 9:24, and immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. What does that say to us if you read the whole thing? You realize that he believed, there was enough belief in him that he said, son, I've got to get you to the disciples or to Jesus or somebody that can help you. I believe they can help you. So wherever he lived, it doesn't tell us, but he packed up his son and he gets him there at whatever cost and says, now I'm going to put you in front of these guys. They can help you. He believed that. But something happened when the disciples could not perform or do what they exercise the power they needed to cast this devil out. There was some unbelief came into that father's heart right then. And the Lord said, well, can you believe? I believe, Lord. It's not my belief in you. It's my unbelief that this will happen. We need to settle us believing what God's word says. Amen? So let's look at a couple of things this morning. What does God's word say about you, about your well-being, your finances, the way you live? What does God's word say about it? Some of us live so beneath what God has planned. I'm not going to preach a prosperity message. I'm not into that. That's not me. I will tell you that God wants you to prosper. God wants you to increase. Amen? Because he does. So let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, me and my wife first got married, I mean, good Lord, we was broke. Do you hear me? We had three O's in our broke. B-R-O-O-K-E. We were broke. We didn't have nothing. And there was a certain amount of fear and unbelief that God could help us and would help us. That does God really know where we're at? You know we're trying, Lord. You know it's tough on us. But you have to go back to God's word and realize that he will help you. Watch this. Matthew 6:25 says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about life. How many of you ever worried about anything? All the hands should go up in this building. If you're not, you're a liar. In Jesus' name. We've worried about something. I can be spiritual. Oh, I'm not going to worry about this. And then something comes up and it's like, I'm worrying about that. The Bible says don't worry about anything, right? Well, that's hard to do, isn't it, preacher? It is for me sometimes. But we dig into God's word and we see some of his promises. So therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Now, I've read that and I've said, yeah, God, but you ain't the one hungry. You ain't the one that the shoes is wore out. You ain't the one that the soles is coming off the shoe. Come on, somebody. Come on, let's just be real. You're not the one faced with, are we going to pay the mortgage next month? Where's the gas money going to come so we can get to work? Where is the lunch money for the kids? When I grew up, you didn't have government programs. You had $1.50. Or you took a sack lunch. And so I remember those times, but God, you're really not here. See, it's not based upon your circumstance, whether you believe it or not. We want to say, yeah, but God, it's different now. We sang about the same God. The Bible says that he's the same God, what? Yesterday? He changes not. He said he's a God that cannot lie. So if he cannot lie and he says not worry about something, don't worry about these things, should you worry about them? No, but we do. I'm going to help you with this. Verse 26 says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of more value than they? I've been in a place in my life where I've questioned that sometimes. Lord, are you really going to come through? Me doing all that I can do. Now, there's criteria to this thing, but me doing all that. God, are you going to come through? I know what your word says, you're going to feed the birds, but who cares if a bird dies? That's what I would say. Big deal. We got plenty of them. Maybe they'll be the ones that sit on my car and do their business. Come on, somebody. I don't care, but I'm caring about me and my family and what's going on around, and that makes me worry. But there's a whole parable, set of scriptures talks about don't worry, put your trust in God. Talks about your unbelief and what God can do for you. I've seen God do many things time and time again. I still have unbelief, but I'm here to tell you, you've come along too late to tell me that God can't. I may not always exercise heroic faith and belief in God, but God can. God can always do what he says his word could do. Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? I used to worry about my weight. I didn't get smaller because I worried. I go get on the scales. Same thing. Come back next, I need to really lose some weight. Get on the scales, I'm a pound heavier. Come on, somebody. I can't blame little Debbie. You can't even take weight off. You can't add to your height. You can't be shortened because you worry about, I'm too tall, I'm too short. It doesn't matter. God made you the way you are. Why are you worrying? God says, don't worry about those things. Says, so if you can't make yourself shorter or taller, verse 28 says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the valley, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. So, and yet, I say to you, even Solomon, who was in all of his glory, was arrayed like one of these. In other words, the flower. God looks at the flower and says, that is beautiful. I made this beautiful. So he says, he even compares a flower being greater than Solomon, all of his splendor and all of his glory. He had everything. And he says, a flower is more beautiful than that, than that, of his glory and splendor. And he says this, and yet I say to you, verse 30, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, watch this. Now here's where your belief needs to start kicking in. Will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? If he'll do it for these, will he not do it for you? Well, I don't know. He might. That's the unbelief. You can be a Christian and have unbelief in your heart. Doesn't mean you're going to hell. It means you have unbelief. It means that you need to mature in your Christian walk is what it means. Because I don't know of anybody that I read about in the Bible has had some unbelief. Abraham had unbelief. I mean, the man of faith had unbelief. Really? Yeah, he wasn't sure God was going to see him through, so he lied to some people and said his wife was his sister so he could protect himself. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Verse 31, therefore, you know what to do when you read the word therefore. You ask yourself the question, what is it there for? What is I'm fixing to read? What have I just read? What is it there for? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. That means, you're a Gentile, by the way, but what that means is the ungodly people. That's what they seek after, the things that can make them happy. They seek after the things that they believe will take care of their needs. It says that the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you had need of all these things. Isn't that amazing that you can go to God in prayer and He already knows what you're going to ask? He already knows what your needs are. Now, here's the problem that we have. We get our needs and wants mixed up. Lord Jesus, I really want whatever that is. I really want a new car. Do you need one? Oh, no, ain't nothing wrong with God. I really want whatever. You fill in the blank. A want is not a need. Never has been. Never will be. They're two different things altogether. I believe it's okay for you to prosper enough so you can get some of your wants. The Bible says that you should enjoy some of the fruit of your labor. In other words, you ought to be enough left over. You can have some, you can do some things. Amen? But don't get your want and your need mixed up, because then you'll really fall into unbelief. Well, God didn't provide that for me, and I really wanted it. Yeah, you really wanted it, but you didn't need it. Verse 33. Probably one of my favorite passages in Scripture. Matter of fact, it's back here on this board. It's in our staff meeting. It's been back there a couple of weeks. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Number one, you want to help your unbelief? You want to help your belief grow? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not what you want. Not what you think. Seek ye first. The first thing you do. The first thing you do in the morning is you get up and you seek God. The last thing you do at night is you seek God. In the middle of the day, you seek Him. What do you want me to do, God, when you make a decision? God, what do you want to do? God, what's your plan? What do you think about this, God? Have you ever asked God what He thinks about something? Most of the time we talk about God about something after we've already done it, and we want God's blessing to be upon it. May I suggest to you that if you seek the kingdom of God, seek Him first, His righteousness, then guess what? The things that you put your hand to do will prosper. In your life, your relationships, your businesses, your finances, your marriage, your relationship with your children, those things prosper when you seek God first. Not second, not an afterthought. Have you ever done something and said, oh, man, I wish I hadn't have done that? Okay, the rest of you are lying, because it's like, oh, man, I wish I hadn't said that. You know, as the words come out, you're trying to run and grab them. Man, we all do things, but if we would seek the kingdom of God first, you know what? That would keep us from a lot of mistakes. That would keep us from a lot of things. But it would do this: if we seek the kingdom of God first, we would learn how to build our faith, and when we ask God for something, it'll happen. I remember my mother's growing up, back up 43 or 4 years ago. I remember my mother praying when my father, he was in the hospital, he was going to die, and they told me he was going to die. And I remember my mother she'd come and talk to us boys about it. And she was serious about it, but I remember saying this. There's a possibility. It's what she said. There's a possibility your dad's going to die. Your dad's going to die. But we believe God for healing. We believe God. She wasn't just saying, hey, I'm going to believe. She's letting us know we are going to believe God. Well, He's alive today, by the way, if you're just wondering. 40-something years later, because she took a stance. I believe God. I believe I take God at His word. I just take Him at His word. I just take Him at His word. So believe God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added to somebody else that's got a better Facebook page. somebody else has got their life together. No, to you. You ought to, can I get, I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to get notes. I'm going to get off in your business. I get paid to do that. Get off in your business. Some of you ought to take a break for about a month from social media. You'd feel a heavy burden lift off. Woo, glory to God. I told Taylor a while ago, I said, I've been watching your family on there. I said, I'm just stalking you. I used to be on there quite a bit. Now I just go there, and okay, then I'm done. And that may be 2 or 3 days. Some of you, I was looking back the other day, and I was trying to clean up the junk on my computer, you know, emails, and I got to looking, and there was like several of these messengers on Facebook, but I don't do those. Don't send me that. I don't do those, okay? But I got to looking, and I'm thinking, what is this? Oh, man, they were back in April and March, and people were asking me questions. I didn't get that one. The weight can be lifted off of you if you'll get that junk out of your mind. Because you're trying to perform to what the world wants you to perform to. You're never going to make it. You'll always, look, there'll always be somebody on Facebook that'll one-up you. There'll always be somebody on Twitter. That's not Twitter, it's X now, isn't it? X. That will one-up you. There'll always be somebody at work that's going to one-up you. Let that stuff go. It'll cause you to unbelief. And I'm making a circle here. I'll land directly. Therefore, do not worry. In verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. My dad used to tell, I'm a planner. I mean, I like to know what's going to happen tomorrow. I asked my wife, she's like, would you shut up? It's tomorrow. That's next month. I'm a planner. I don't worry about stuff tomorrow, the next day. But why? Because I'm a planner. I got a plan on how we're going to fix this. It's all right. She got a plan. See, she has a plan. She's going to feed that baby. We won't take up an offering that baby. That baby is about starving. If y'all noticed her, she little old bitty thing starving to death. I told him we're going to take up an offering. I said, y'all got to feed this baby. Glory to God. It's okay to have fun in church. Holy Spirit's still here. Amen. Some of you shut up tight a while ago. You know, anyway. So my dad would say, son, he would always say this. I said, Dad, what do you think about doing this tomorrow? He said, don't worry about that. We're going to get there. My dad was somewhat of a planner. He just had it. You would always go up to Dad and you'd ask him something. And he just, how do you know that? How did you know that we need to do that and it hadn't got here yet? Because he was a planner. But he didn't get hung up in tomorrow because tomorrow's not here yet. And he would always say this when we'd do something. Dad, what do you think about doing this tomorrow? He said, son, if the Lord wills. That's biblical. If the Lord wills, we'll do it. If not, we ain't going to do it. Amen. Some of you need to take on that. If the Lord wants me to, I will. It'll help you unbelief. Boy, and it'll build you belief. Amen. So what does God's word say about healing? Now, this is always a touchy subject because everybody's sick all the time. We're always sick, so it must not work. Well, maybe it's your unbelief. Could be. I know a lady in this church that's here today. She got one word. When there was a major blow in their life concerning healing. One word. Marshall, what was it? Believe. Well, that's too easy. Just believe. Huh? I thought you'd give me more words than that. No, just believe. I mean, is there something else? Did he leave somebody? You're not telling me? Is there some kind of... No, just believe. There's no encouragement for me here. You're telling me just believe. You're telling me that God give me one word to believe. Uh-huh, just one. Just one. Not 100, one, just one. Why? Because we read a while ago the scripture. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. The Lord asked you, said, do you believe? It's not optional, really, if you want to have a desired outcome. Just believe. It's too easy. Psalms 107:20 says this. This is his word. This is why you got to believe his word. This is why you got to read his word. He sent his word and he healed them. Well, that's it. And he delivered them from their destructions. That's it. You're in bondage today. You're in addictions today. Your life is spiraling down. Well, God sent his word and healed you. God is a God that's over every addiction and every stronghold in your life, my life, and everybody else's. God can. Verse 21 says, Psalms 107, verse 21. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I've seen it so many times in church circles where God will do a miracle in somebody's life, in a relationship, whatever, and they come 2 more weeks and you never see them again, and you run into them 6 months later and you say, hey, how you doing? Well, I just fell out of church. You know, I got my feelings hurt. What? Did you forget what God, oh, I'm so thankful for that, yeah. You told anybody about it? Oh, no, I ain't told anybody about it. That's part of it. When God does something for you, you let people know. That's why we have praise reports. If you come on Wednesdays, what would we do first, church? We do praise reports. Why? Because we want to hear of the goodness of God that's happening in your life. It's not so we can fill time. It's so that you can follow scripture and say, God's done something good in my life, so I'm going to praise him. I'm going to tell people how thankful I am that God has done this. It is part of the program. So many, you're just waiting for the next blessing a lot of times. We're waiting for the next thing God to do in our lives, and we ain't told anything about the last thing. We don't want to get so busy looking for the next thing that we forget where we are. That we overlook this moment and reflect on the yester moment and say, God has done so much in our lives. Psalms 103 verse 3 says this, who forgives all of your iniquities? How many of them? Just the big ones or the small ones? I mean, it is. Sam said a little bit about it earlier today. He'll walk right up in your mess and say, I'm here. If you believe, I can save you. If you believe. I'll walk right up in the middle of all of your addictions, all of your troubles, all of your marital stuff, all of the stuff that you just feel shame about. I'll walk right in the middle and say, I'm here. Do you believe I can fix you? Do you believe that if you put your trust in me, that you'll be healed and set free? The world has told us, no, that's not true. You need another pill. I'm not against things that help us. Don't think that. We have a medical doctor sitting right here. I'm not against that. He knows me. I'm not against those things. But our first decision always, let me go around and get this pill. Let me get nine doctors' opinions before I come to God with it. You say we shouldn't get second opinions? No, I've got several of them in my life myself. I'm just saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God. See if that's what he wants to do. He says in his word that he'll heal all of my iniquities, who heals all of your diseases. All means all, and that's all mean church. That's all means church. Just all of them. Psalms 30 verse 2 says this, O Lord my God, I cried out to you and you didn't heal me. That's not what it says. I cried out to you and you healed me. Preacher, I just don't know if I believe healing. You don't have to. You can be sick. I'm okay. You don't have to believe in it. But because you don't believe in it, because the majority of people don't believe in it, doesn't mean it's not real. Just means they don't believe in it. I happen to believe in it. I've seen it. I've experienced it. It's real. Many of you in this church have witnessed it. I just love it when someone, I remember years ago, I've been praying for my kids. Praying for my kids, they were sick. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us, God. And they was just sick. And about 10 years into this thing, oh, by the way, I've been praying for 34 years. Come on, somebody. Are they healed? Not completely, but are they being healed? Amen. I don't understand all the other stuff, okay? I just know this, that you keep praying. And people come up to me, I heard this one person, he said, now, do you think that's really happened or do you think they're growing out of it? No, the report said that they would be dead by now. But God's word says, I healed all of your diseases. Come on, somebody. Isaiah 53:5 says it this way, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was up on him. And by his stripes you... 1 Peter 2:24 says it this way, who himself bore our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. I like what the preacher said last week. Lee, will you come, piano? I like what the preacher said last week. Isaiah, let me put it this way, in Matthew talks about healing. Now, Isaiah gives a prophetic word that the stripes are going to come and you will be healed by them. Matthew talks about, because of the New Testament's just unfolding, talks about that by his stripes you're healed. But when we get some 30, 40 years down the road, Peter pens these words, by those stripes you were. You don't have to go do it again. So what's your unbelief? What are you not believing God's word for? What is the unbelief in your heart that keeps you from stepping into God's promises? It's not God's holding something back from you. If you've been taught that in your life, that you rebuke that in Jesus' name, because that is not true. God has good things in store for you. But so many times we don't reach those because of unbelief in our life. Well, I just don't know if it's for me. I just don't know if he really wants me to have those good things. I don't know if he really wants to be that close to me, because I'm really spiritually and I'm really dirty when it comes to sin. I just don't know if he can deal with me. I don't know if he looks at my past, does he really forget it? Has he really thrown my past as far as the east is from the west? He has. He has. I remember one time I committed what I thought the unpardonable sin. I was a young teenager, and I was like, oh, man. And I remember thinking, he'll never accept me. That's too big of a, Shredder, that's just too big of a sin. I know God will forgive me for lying and maybe cheating a little bit, but this is a big thing. I just don't think I can. I just don't think God's going to just forgive me. I've just doomed myself to separation from God. That was my unbelief. But as I began to grow older, and I had a praying mama, glory to God, I had a praying mama and a whooping daddy, and I turned out all right. My daddy's always said, what God can't help you with, I can. And I remember reading the passage of Scripture where it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I've read this book a few times through, and I've never have I read that you couldn't be saved. What's your unbelief? What's holding you back from fulfilling everything God has for you? Don't be ashamed of the unbelief. Don't let unbelief rule you and tell you you can't. Simply do what the Father said about when he's talking to the Lord. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. What is it you're struggling with? Don't tell us. What is it you're struggling with? Everybody in this room's got something. Me too. Everybody's got something you struggle with because of unbelief in your heart. I just don't know if God wants to or can or whatever. What's your unbelief today? Will you stand with me across this building? Father, I thank you for your word today. I sense your presence in this place. Lord, I sense a lot of believers and believing in this house. Lord, I just believe in my heart that there's a lot of people in here saying, Lord, I believe, Lord. Just like the father of this young boy said, I believe. But would you help my unbelief, Lord? It's not a sin. It's not sacrilegious. It's really where you are. It's a real thing we deal with. Lord, help my unbelief. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm struggling with some things. I've got some unbelief in my life that I just need God to help me with. If that's you, I want you to do something. I don't want you to raise your hand. I want you to just come to the front. I want to pray with you. Just step out where you are. I'm just dealing with some unbelief. Maybe it's an unbelief that God will heal you. Maybe it's unbelief that God will restore a marriage or that God will restore some relationships. Maybe it's unbelief that God can fix you up with this stronghold in your life that you're always there. Maybe this hurt or this pain, I just don't know if he will. If that's you, will you come? Will you join these? Will you come? Will you come? Just come to the front real quick. I need some men and women to come in and stand behind these right here real quick. We're going to pray in just a minute. Are there others? Now, I want to leave room for the ones that are, so we know who to pray for. Are there others? You're dealing with something and you believe God can, but you just don't know. You got some unbelief. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're not alone in this walk of unbelief. It's as real as the hand on the end of your arm. It's real. But I know a God that says in his word that he is faithful and he is just to deliver us from all things if we believe. That's what I want you to begin to pray. I'm gonna lay my hands on you in just a minute. But I want you to begin to pray just this simple. Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to trust in your word. What it says is just what it says. Amen. Will y'all begin to pray? If you're behind these, will you just begin to pray with him? Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. I pray today you have gotten something out of this message. I know when I started working on this, it really inspired me to look at my belief and my unbelief. And you can feed either one of them. You can feed your unbelief. You can feed your belief. And how you feed your belief is getting God's word. What does God's word say about your situation? When I was a youth pastor, they'd ask me, they'd come to me and say, Brother Marty, I'm dealing with this, and how do I deal with this? And I'll say, go to the God's word and find everything about that situation. And you read it, and you read it again, and you read it, and it'll help you know that God has a plan for everything. God can help you out of anything. It's his word. It's his word that brings and builds your belief. You don't have to do nothing. to increase your unbelief. Just live life. Just live life. So I want to challenge you today. Just believe. My daughter's holding a miracle. We just believed. There's no little wild man running around here. We believed. Cooper's here somewhere. They couldn't have kids. We believed. Amen. We believed. You've come too late to tell me not to believe. I want to challenge you to believe today. I tell you what, we got a beautiful little miracle up here too. Asen Armstrong up there. Daddy, can you stand up? And hey, pitch him down here. I'll catch you. No, I'm kidding. Benicia said, hold up a minute. I've been working on this for 9 months. We ain't throwing nothing anywhere. Oh, look at that darling right there. Isn't he precious? Amen. Amen. Lucy, go over and meet your husband. He said, hold up, wait a minute now. Amen. Amen. So proud for y'all. This is amazing. I mean, glory to God. You're going to be young forever. Keep doing that. Amen. Hey, y'all congratulate when you see him. Can I do you a favor? I'm kind of weird. If you've been sick, don't go up and kiss that baby. Don't put your hands on that baby's face. Come on, somebody, in Jesus' name, and be like, hey, how you doing? How's that? Get away. Amen. I'm trying to help you out. Amen. Love on them at a distance if you've been sick. If you ain't washed your hands, don't put your hands on their face. Amen. Don't touch the baby. Amen. That's weird, isn't it? Let me bless you. Y'all stand. Let me bless you before we leave. Remember, if you're in the mega sports and your leadership there, whatever, that you've been text, I guess, come to that meeting. 2:00. 2:00, right back here. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the people. Lord, I pray that we would find favor with God and with man. Lord, that increase, job promotions, raises, prosperity would come our way. God, and I pray that peace would rest on every rooftop. That when we lay down today or this tonight, that sweet sleep would come to our physical bodies and our spiritual souls. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Hey, we have Wednesday night church service. Invite somebody to come. 5:45, we'll feed you. 7:00, we'll feed you again.